Father, I thank you for Lucy. I thank you for her as a person, as a blessing to so many of us. But just at this moment, I want to thank you for the woman of God she is and the great communicator. And I want to ask that you would encourage her and bless her and release her to share the things she's heard from you in ways that we can hear and respond to, and go away encouraged, but actually challenged as well, going away ready to press further into your presence, into your heart, to discover more of what you're wanting to share with us and how we can live for you. And I know Lucy will do some of that, whether she's trying to do any of that or not, Father, because that's who she is, and I thank you for her. So give us ears to hear, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks, Janet. Eden was having a bit of a panic because there was a spider down here before, so I'm worried about putting this on the floor and the spider climbing. It's gone that way. Oh, crikey, it's fast moving. What? Oh, no, that's fine. I'm not scared of them, so I don't know why I'm worried about. We're starting a new series of What Does It Look Like to Live a Life? I think that's the title of the series. And the first week is, what does it look like to live a life of faith? But Claire just shared a story with us at the beginning, which I think kind of sums up the whole point of this. She said yesterday she'd been helping doing some painting, and she's not a very clean painter. I would have asked her to repeat the story, but she's in zones. And so she was kind of paint splattered, which I could really resonate with because I'm quite like that as well. But she went into Morrison's afterwards with quite a lot of paint on her, I presume, and as she was there, a few people made a comment and went, oh, you look like you've been painting, or oh, been had a busy day. And she just felt God saying to her, this is what it means kind of to be a Christian. And her prayer was that she might be changed like that from her life with God, that people can see it, that people make a comment about how she is or how she looks because of God in her life. And I thought that's a brilliant way to kind of sum this up. We're looking at what does it look to live like, but we want that to change who we are. We don't just want to be the same people. And Janet asked the question at the beginning, why we've come to church. We might all have lots of different reasons for being here this morning. But my prayer is that actually we all go out a little bit changed for the better. That something inside us has changed, maybe a thought, maybe something in our heart, maybe our way of thinking, that we go out changed. Worked easy to work before. Okay, so first of all, if we're looking at what does it look like to live a life of faith, what is faith? One of my favourite passages is Hebrews 11, and it says a whole load of things about faith, but the very first verse says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. Confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. To press all these buttons. So my first question this morning to you is, what are you hoping for? I'd like you to think of at least one thing that you are hoping for, to put it in your mind right at this point. I am hoping for, you can write it down if you've got a piece of paper, but I'd like you to practically think of one thing you are hoping for. Dave didn't take Dave very long. I know some people like to reflect a little bit more. Oh. That's the problem. One of the things with living by faith is this whole word of prosperity. And some people will have heard of the whole thing in America of the prosperity gospel, where there was a TV evangelist who was saying, send in you know, send in $10 and I'll pray for you and I'll do this. And, you know, God can give you anything and he can give you a massive home. And we get a bit stuck on the whole idea of prosperity is a bad thing. But actually, I think God does want to prosper us, because that's all I see in the Bible. And it doesn't just mean God is going to give you a flashy BMW, Mercedes, although he does to some people. But that actually he wants to bless us. And some of us get stuck in this poverty mentality that we think we have to live in a way of poverty. And we have to go, oh, I haven't got anything. Most of you know I'm a lecturer at university and it's a Christian course I teach on. And some of my students today, last week, we were talking about values, and they had to face paint a symbol that represented their group. There were four of them in the group, and one of them groups came back with a cross on the face. One came back with a pound sign and crossed out and was saying, oh, we're students, we're all poor. And at the beginning of the session, less than an hour beforehand, three of them had told me how they'd got new cars. Now, new cars in the scale of new cars ranged from I paid £400 for my new car to I don't know what kind of new car. But I was like, actually, you're not. You're not poor. And we judge a lot of things by money rich and money poor, but actually prosperity is about so much more than that. And I just wanted to share a few stories about God's amazing provision that we've seen, not for our own glory, but actually, because I think it raises faith. We were missionaries in Albania, so part of that was living by faith. And when we were saying we were going out to Albania, I just remember loads of people saying, oh, I don't know how you can do that, I don't know how you can do that. You know, you're selling your house, you're giving up a lovely house, and you've got good jobs. And all I could say was, it's easier. And then, don't be daft, that's not easier. How is going to live in another country easier? Because staying here and not doing what God wants me to is the harder thing to do. And so when we were coming back, we knew that this was God's will and God's plan. But, sorry for the bad news, Mike and Joe, but it was a really hard thing to do. We didn't have a beautiful house to give up. We had a little three-roomed house in a swamp. We had a car that we couldn't sell because it wasn't worth anything. We were giving it away. We didn't have amazing, fantastic jobs that were well paid. We lived by faith. But we knew giving that up was a harder thing to come back to than it had been giving up our luxuries to start off with. But we came back to our house and every cupboard was full of things. All the furniture we needed was there, apart from one bed that we bought. And part of that, I know, is the generosity of people in this church. And it wasn't taken for granted at all. But it's the goodness of God that he provides through people, through miraculous ways. And one of our problems was we didn't have a car when we came back. And somebody said to us, you can have my car. I'm not using it anymore. You can have my car. I went, wow, that's amazing. We've got a car. That is fantastic. The only problem was it was only a 5-seater car and we were due to have Liliana, which meant we needed 6 seats at least. Do you feel a bit guilty going to God, going, thank you for this car, this is such a blessing, but actually I need a different version. And then we'd been at the Ground Level Leaders Conference and Glyn Barrett, I always want to say Barnett, but it's not Barrett, was there talking about how God had given him this car and he'd been to this dealership and they just said to him, do you want another car? We'll upgrade you to a new car. And it was just amazing, this story. So I went, do you know what? I'm as good as he is. I talked to you last week about God's favourites. Well, I'm God's favourite. So I went, right, well, if he can have a new car, actually, God, we are really grateful for this car, but you know this doesn't meet our needs. In a few months, we need another seat in our car. So we need another car, please. And within a few weeks, somebody emailed us and said, here's £10,000 to go and get yourself a car. We've never had £10,000 to get a car before. I was like, whoa! And you do kind of go like, well, can I split it into chunks and put some of it towards a car and some of it to something else? But actually, we went and found a car for £9,999 or whatever. And it had, you know, it's got 7 seats. Now, that's not just me going, oh, yeah, God gives us whatever we want. God provided our needs twice. Because I was willing to say, okay, God, I am really grateful, but this is our need now. You already know it, and actually it's no problem for you. Another story was the house. We sold the house, which felt like a miracle in itself. And we didn't particularly look for a new house because we really didn't think the sale was going to go through. But it did go through without any problems at all, which put us in a position where we hadn't got anywhere to live because we hadn't found another house to live in. And we hadn't found anywhere to rent. And the only possibility was this house, which was 2 bedrooms, which went, okay, we can do 2 bedrooms, there's 6 of us, but the kids can share, it's, you know, limited time, we can do that, that's no problem, that's still much more rooms than we had in Albania. But it was horrible. It was really, like, horrible. Just, Eden went, it will be all right, Mum, as long as nobody comes round. Like I said, we used to live in a swamp, so we're not a proud family, but it was like, God, right, okay, if you provide for us that house, that's great. So we phoned up the estate agents on the Monday. We were moving, we had to move on the Friday, and said, right, we've got nothing else. Can we put an offer in for the rent on that house? But we would like to say, can we redecorate the lounge? Just plain white, you know, we can't put it back to the colours it is now because I don't think they make that wallpaper anymore. But could we, you know, put in an offer? So they said, yeah, no problem. We can do the whole thing in 24 hours. So don't panic, no worries. So it went great. Tuesday, I phoned up the estate agent and said, have you heard anything? They went, no, we can't get in touch with the owners. But we're still trying. But we have got another property if you want to come and look at it today. So we went, yeah, anything, to be honest. So we went and it was a new build, 3-storey. This one had 3 bedrooms, step up, go, fantastic. And the only thing is, we manage it for another company, so we have to get the forms to them, and then they will process it. So it might take a little bit longer. We went, okay, but you know we only have till Friday. Yeah, yeah, no problem, as long as you can get the papers back to us. So Neil was working in Nottingham all that day, so I phoned Neil up and went, you need to get back at some point as early as you can, because we need to get the papers to the estate agent by 5 o'clock so that they can process it tomorrow. So that they can pass it on to be processed tomorrow. So that was going to be Wednesday. Anyway, Neil rushed back. We got the papers to the estate agent. Wednesday comes. 5 o'clock Wednesday comes. And I've not heard anything. So I phoned the estate agent at some point. I'm really sorry, but you know our situation. We need to move on Friday. It's Wednesday. What's happening with this house? Because you said you could do it in 24 hours. And well, the problem is the other company have got a lot of work on, and so it's taking quite a while. So I went, right, that's great, but we've only got till Friday. Yeah, yeah, we know you've only got till Friday. I'll phone them up. She phones me back a few minutes later. She went, the lady's going to look at it. She's going to try and get it done today, but she's got 8 other applications on her desk. I went, it's 5 o'clock. What are the chances? She went, do you have another plan? No, we don't have another plan. You are the other plan. I went, okay, God, you know what? This is your problem. I am beginning to panic about it a bit now. But Neil had already booked. Neil, the man of faith, had booked the van for Friday. He was on a course all this week. He didn't really care. I was packing boxes, dealing with the estate agents. So Thursday, I just went on Facebook. I went anywhere trying to get a house because within one day, we have got to move. And I was like, Lord, I really don't know what to do with this. But we had seen the vicarage, but it was out of our price range. So we went, right, if I don't hear anything by 10 o'clock, I'm going to phone up about the vicarage without asking Neil. Which I didn't feel very happy about because we do prefer to discuss things, but I went, I've got no other option in this. Anyway, at 10 o'clock I had no reception on my phone because O2 had been working all week on the network. At 2 o'clock, my phone beeped. I got a message that was from Neil that said, inquire about the vicarage. And I went, I was going to. So I phoned up the estate agents and said, look, I'm really sorry. I know, you know, this is really, really short notice, but we need a house for tomorrow. What are the chances of us getting the vicarage by tomorrow? She went, oh, yeah, no problem at all. I went, what about all the forms and background? No problem at all. We'd sold our house through them. We'd also previously rented through them, so they didn't need to do a background check. Everything was working great. And we moved into the vicarage on Friday with lots of help. Thank you, everybody who helped us yet again. And on the Saturday morning, we sat in this vicarage. There was me, Timmy and Matilda and Liliana. And we sat around the breakfast table. And Timmy went, oh, Mummy, be nice to live here forever, wouldn't it? Because we moved into a vicarage, which is massive. It's 4 bedrooms. It's a study, 2 toilets, bathroom, a lounge, a dining room, a kitchen that you can sit in as well. I went, gosh, God is so good. It's not our house, and we are still praying and looking for another house. But I'm not worried about it at all. Because I know God has got the house for us. And people go, well, yeah, but you must be worried about it a little bit. I go, no, I'm not. You know what? It's God's job to get me the right house, because I can worry about it all I like, but I've already asked him to deal with it. And my faith says he can find me the exact right place that he wants me and my family missed. And another little story, even smaller than that, because we're in rented accommodation, we've been very hesitant to buy any furniture. Timmy doesn't like moving, but he's got to the point now where he's started to plan his new room, which is a major step. So we've gone, right, God, we're getting to the point now where you need to do something, because even Timmy's ready to move and have our home. And one of the things he wanted was a desk for his room. So I went, oh, that's great. That we'll put that on your list, Timmy, because I just keep encouraging him to write a list or draw pictures or whatever, because the reality is I'm not going to buy a desk until I know if he's going to have a room that will fit a desk. Anyway, I was coming... This had been on the Monday. On the Wednesday, I was coming out of work, and at the top of the drive at work was this desk that said, free to a good home. I thought, I've got a good home. And I looked at it, and I went, yeah! And Liliana kind of went, oh, she was in the back. I went, do you know what? The back seat was already down of the car, so I had the perfect space to fit in this computer desk with a little pull-out drawer for free. I did just check the next week at work, went, it was okay me taking that desk, wasn't it? They went, yeah, yeah, nobody knows about it apart from me and Timmy. But God provided something as silly to some people as a desk. But actually, we could then say to Timmy, you know what, God's provided that for us. It'll be, yeah, the bedroom will be the right size. But it doesn't matter if it's not, because we can use it somewhere else or pass it on to somebody else. Because God just loves to bless us. And when we have faith in him, I didn't have to worry about whether I could get Timmy a desk or not, because God will provide. It's not about my wants in the biggest, you know, gold enameled thing. I just want a desk. And he gave us a desk. I don't want to kind of go on to the whole prosperity thing, but I do want to say to us, let's rise our faith and ask God for what we want, to believe that actually he does want the good things for us. There's lots of stories like that I could go on, but the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? They were talking about a demon in a man. He said, because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. I'd like you to repeat with me that last bit. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now let's just put it to us, actually. So nothing will be impossible for me. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed. Now then, a mustard seed. Oh, I need to go back. I don't know how to do that. Can you move me back one? Thank you. A mustard seed isn't as big as that. It is tiny. And in case you were wondering just how small a mustard seed is, I've got one for you all. I hope I've got one for everybody. You can take one and pass one round. A mustard seed is tiny, and yet it's massive. In 60 days, a mustard seed will have grown so that it's got edible greens on it. Dave's looking at me very confused. Don't look confused like that, Dave. Well, so what? But within 60 days, the mustard seed is providing something that will nourish us, that will feed us, that will enable us to be strengthened, as I'm sure it's one of our five a day. It gives us health. When we begin to put our mustard seed of faith into action, it nourishes us, it gives us health. It gives us strength because it changes who we are and how we live our lives. Within 60 days, a mustard seed will... Oh, no, I've gone back. I learned how to go backwards there. That's good, isn't it? Oh, sorry, I just think I pointed at something. A mustard seed will have enough seeds on it for mustard, which is always helpful because I think that's generally why we would plant mustard. What does mustard do? I don't like mustard. Does any... Mustard. Oh. So, but what? Why do you like mustard? What would you? Why would you add mustard? It what? Oh, it clears your nose. Oh, I haven't got anything that says that. It adds flavouring. Yes, that's much more... Senses, though, it changes our senses. It makes a difference. It adds flavour to what we're eating. Either, in my case, it adds a flavour, or to other people, Andy Hay was definitely looking like, yes, I like mustard. 60 days. We've got enough seeds for mustard to add flavour. When we begin to put our faith into action, it adds flavour to our life. You know, the Bible talks about us being salt, being light, being a difference. Claire's story about the paint splatters, that we go out and we look different. We want flavour in our lives. People say to me, oh, I don't know how you can do what you do. I go, oh, because this is the only life we've got. It's not a practice. We've got however many days we've got on the earth, and I want to make the most of it. I want to live my life. I don't want to have regrets. I don't want to sit back and go, oh, I wish I'd spent another 3 days on Facebook. I want to do the things that God's put me here to do. Adding a bit of flavour. Within 60 days, the mustard seed... Oh, no, too far, too far. I think me and Rachel are fighting over this. Oh, it's me then. Don't just blame me. Oh, it's got enough seeds for sowing itself again. So not only have you got the greens to eat, not only have you got enough seeds to make your mustard, but it also has enough seeds to then go back into the ground and sow for itself. It's good, this, isn't it? When we put our faith into action, as we begin to do it, you know, you've just heard some of my stories. I said I could go on, and I know people in here have got stories of faith or just answered prayers, or just what they go, oh, yeah, but it doesn't really matter. But it does matter. Because as we begin to see God answer one thing, as we begin to see our faith fulfilled, it goes back into the ground. And it means, do you know what? God's done it once. I know we can do it again. With the house, I know God's got another house for us because he's already done it once and because he's promised it. It's self-sowing. In 60 days, the plant has grown big enough to be considered a bush or a tree. And in Luke 13:19, it says it grew, talking about the mustard seed, it grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches. It had strength. It was established. Those seeds were prolific. Not only that, they became a refuge for other things. When we put our faith into action, this is what changes in our lives. We have a life with flavour. We have a life that's building and growing and developing and alive, and it becomes a refuge for other people. One of my students this week came and she was in a right state. I said, just come into my office, sit down, tell me what's going off. She went, it's my daughter. She's put something on Facebook last night and I'm just absolutely devastated. I don't know what to do. And she told me the situation and she said, my husband's at home. He hasn't been able to go to work because we're just so worried about the situation and we just don't know what to do. And I sat there going, oh God, I really don't know what to say in this situation. I don't know how to deal with it. So I just said to her, let's pray. I don't have the answers for you. I don't have the right words, but let's pray. And as some of you know, my prayers go on quite a while. And I did apologise to her and went, I'm sorry, my prayer was quite so long. She went, no, it's lovely. Just sitting and listening and feeling soaked in the prayer. And she went home that afternoon to be with her husband because she couldn't concentrate. In the evening, she WhatsApped me and said, my daughter phoned up this evening and I asked her about what was on Facebook and said, what can we do? She said, oh, my friend had put that on there for a joke. We went through a range of, right, what do we do? Do you strangle the daughter? Or do we go, actually, do you know what? That was the answer to our prayer. Our prayer was that this would come to nothing, that God would do a miracle in the situation, that it would be totally changed, and what seemed like devastation at that point would not be devastation. And yes, I think her husband probably will go on and strangle the daughter at some later stage, but she did go. It was an answer to our prayer, because where we couldn't see where an answer was, the answer was, oh, it's all right, Mum, it was just a joke. Easy. There you go. So it's easy, isn't it, this putting it all faith into action. So you've all got your little mustard seed there. Has everybody got one? You got one of them? No, Janet. Oh, you'll have to share your faith. I've got some more. The first thing we need to do is plant that seed. 1 Corinthians says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries, all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I can do nothing. I am nothing. It's about our whole life, our character. Because I can have the faith to say, God, I need a house. But if it's all about me and all about what I want, and actually if my character stinks, there's nothing in it. Because it's about all of our life, about who we are, about the way we live our life, about understanding who God is. Faith isn't about showing off stories, and I really hope those stories haven't come across as, oh, Lucy's just this woman of faith, she's so amazing. But actually, they're just stories of the times that I've seen God doing something. They're his stories, they're just that I'm able to share them. Faith isn't about what I've got, but it's about what God's done. And faith's not about my holiness, thank goodness, but it's about God's grace and mercy and love. If I have faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. It's worth nothing if we don't have love in our lives. We're all cracked pots. You know, I never said that I will stand up here and I'm perfect, because I'm way, way, way beyond it. I'm so imperfect. I'm a cracked pot. But I'm held together by the grace and love of God and his mercy. We have to care for it. Really, it should be obvious, shouldn't it, which button it is? Yeah. Every time I click it, I'll pretend it. So how do we care for this little tiny bit of faith that I've got for this situation? We water it, we tend it, we prune it, we shape it. We take action. Faith only grows when we put it into action. The Message puts it like this: not so fast. You can no more show me your works apart from your faith than I can show you my faith apart from my works. Faith and works, works and faith, they fit together hand in glove. We can all see that, can't we? A glove is no use. It doesn't do anything apart from be a glove unless we put our hand in it. Our hand doesn't get warm or be protected if the glove's just sitting there. They've got to work together if you want them to be a team. And it's the same with faith and works. Our works won't prove us to be anything. It's not about works. It's not about, oh, if I do this, I'll be good enough for God. You know, I did talk last week about I'm God's favourite. It's not because of my works. You're God's favourite, not because of the things you do. Nothing any of us can do is going to be good enough, ever. We are never going to get to be good enough. But God loves us. And it's that love that means our faith comes into action. If we do all those works, but we don't have the faith, I can go around and plan my house. I can plan for these things. I could have just gone and bought a desk. But God provided it. Because that was part of the story of our lives. I can worry over what will happen, what we will do, how will this work out. Because so much of our life doesn't work apart from on faith. Because I look at what's coming in, and I look at what's going out, and I go, where does that tie up, God? By our faith to know that God has called us to be doing what we're doing at this time, and it will work out. And we use our wisdom in that, in our works. We are careful in what we spend. We are careful in how we spend it. We honour God in the way we spend it. And we know that it will work out. Faith and works go together. Does that make sense? I'm putting that all onto money, but it's on everything in our lives. Matthew 6, where it says, do not worry, look at the lilies of the valley. How beautiful they are. They're clothed more beautifully than any of the clothes we can buy. Don't worry about what you're going to wear tomorrow. Because God will look after you. Don't worry about what this says, what that says. God has got it in hand. What we hope for, what we pray for, what we ask for. Part of our story. And sometimes, you know, we get an answer that we go, well, I've hoped for this. This is my little seed. This is what I believe in for. But actually, it's like that's just smashed on the floor and no purpose, no use anymore. That just isn't what I hoped for. Sometimes we have to keep walking on that road. Because when we stop further down the line, we can look back and see that cracked little pot on the floor that's smashed and smushed under somebody's feet. And go, do you know what? If God had given me that, that I asked for, that I hoped for, that I had faith for then, I wouldn't be here in this place today. We don't always get quick answers. So me saying, you know, in 60 days this is what faith can do, a mustard seed can do, you know, in 60 days all your little jar will be grown and you'll have a tree and all your faith and your hope will be fulfilled. I can't promise you that. But I do believe we need to ask our prayers. You know, we use these things called SMART that are specific, that are measurable, that are attainable, that are realistic and are time measured. So when we're saying our prayers, let's make them specific. Instead of saying like, oh, God, I want you to bless my children. I'm going to say, God, I want Matilda to have a really good friend at school. I want her to have a friend that she can make a difference to. God, I want Timmy to be able to do well at, I don't know what subject Timmy's not very good at, science. I don't know. Because he struggles in science. I don't know if that's true, sorry. but God, I want you to help him to be able to learn in science. God, I want you to help Eden have a good attitude when he's playing football. I want him to learn that it doesn't matter if he wins or loses, but that he's a good player in his team and other people see that. It's specific. I want it to be measurable. So I want to say, like, by the end of this year, I want Timmy to be able to get, you know, to have gone from a 15 out of 100 to be 50 out of 100. I want people in Eden's team to be able to recognise it. I want it to be measurable. I want it to be attainable. I don't want to just go, right, Timmy's not very good at science. Timmy, if you ever listen to this, I don't know that's true. I want him to get the Nobel Peace Prize. You know, that's wonderful if that's where God takes his life. But I want it to be attainable now to Timmy. And when we're saying our prayers, let's do them in a way that we can see God answering them. Fluffy prayers are lovely, but our faith will grow so much more as we begin to ask those things and we begin to ask them in a way that we can see when God's answered it and we can go, yes, I got that answer. So we prayed, you know, Timmy asked about this desk and within that week we've got that desk and I could go, gosh, Timmy, God listened to your prayers. Even when I said I didn't know when we'd be able to answer that prayer, God had already answered it for you. He could see a very time-measured answer to prayer. So as we're praying, let's do those things. Ashwood Church, what do we have faith for? As a church, as broken pots that make up this church. Sorry for ruining the logo. I'm looking at Paul. Sorry. You know, we're all the individuals that make up the church. But as a church, we are believing for a new building. So me, my little broken pot, what do? Towards that new building? I can pray for it. That's brilliant. The more prayers, the can never get too many. But what else? Now, how do I honour the building that we already have? I'm going to get a little political here. Neil told me not to, but I'm going to anyway. Sorry, Neil. I was talking this week about how few people do cleaning down here. It takes an hour and a half to clean the building. And there's lots of excuses we can all make about, oh, I hate cleaning. I do hate cleaning. I'm not very good at cleaning. That's true. I'm not very good at cleaning. I'm really busy. I am really busy. I've got 4 kids, 2 jobs, a life, and mixing all their lives into it. I am quite a busy person. But do you know what? I can find an hour and a half. It might mean I get up a little bit earlier. It might mean I go to bed a little bit later. It might mean I don't watch Bake Off until it's on catch up. But I can find an hour and a half. And if a few more of us have got involved in helping the cleaning, it would mean less people had to find that hour and a half in 1 week. When we did the gardens out there, there were 6, 7, 8 people came to clean the to do the gardening beds. Again, I have no idea. So we're talking about mustard seeds, but I have no idea with gardening. But me and the kids put the wellies on. You can sweep the floor. You can gather the things together. There's lots of practical things. You know, as I look around this building, there are lots of practical things we can do as a church to honour the building we've got in preparation for the building that we're believing God for. Nobody's asked me to say that. I said that all on my own behalf, and it may not represent the views of everybody. But we are part of this church. Yes, part of this church means we take care of the people, because that is really important. we are helping people find and follow Jesus, and that includes each of us in here. But it does also mean the physical building as well. It means as we're beginning to pray, you know what? Maybe I can start putting 50p towards the new building. It's not very much, but that's all I can afford right now. But that's what I'm going to believe for. And I'm going to believe God's going to take my 50p and change it 10,000-fold, because that's probably what it needs. But at least if I give something, it's better than just going, oh, I'll just keep praying for it and not giving anything. What can we do? What can you do? What can I do? And as a church, as a people, as the as a Christians, I'm going to try it. You know, this week, flipping egg, if you've watched the news even just over the weekend, it's like, God, what do we do with this world? How can I make a difference? Beth posted this story on Facebook about the Libyan immigrants, or the immigrants coming through Libya. And it's heartbreaking. They were saying these people, these lives, sat on the boat, crushed to death. They were having to step over bodies just to try and get a space. Just on one area, they found 29 bodies of people who'd come in hope of an escape, of freedom, of a better life, and died in that process. And this picture just struck me of these people on the on this boat where I'm telling you that there's dead bodies right there, and they hold up this baby and say, will somebody help us? Somebody help us look. If you don't value us as adults, we've got a baby here. Will somebody help us? Their faith was in people that they don't know, that they'll probably never meet. And then we look at Haiti. Hundreds of people killed. On top of that, lives devastated. No homes, no schools, no hospitals, no roads. What can we do? In Yemen, hundreds of people killed at a funeral celebration. God, this world is so broken. How can anything I do make any difference? And sometimes that's where we have to put a little seed of faith. And ask God, show me, where should I put my efforts? Where should I put my energies? What do you want me to do to make a difference in this world? Sometimes it's easy to look at the things and look at these pictures and go, I'm going to send money. And I posted something about big organisations and how money can get distorted. But we've got to do something. Just because of where we were born, this isn't us on the boat. What if that was your son, your daughter, your neighbour, your nephew, your niece, your grandchild, your friend who you went to school with? Wouldn't you want to help? Wouldn't you want to do something? We can all do something, and it might be a tiny seed, but our seed can grow into something big. And actually, our seed added together can make a whole field flourish. And grow and grow and grow. So finally, what does your life of faith look like? When you look in the mirror, what do you see? There's a little cat here, looks in the mirror, and it sees a mighty lion. When you look at that little seed, do you just feel, I haven't got anything really that's insignificant? Lucy's stories are great. I wish I could do that, but I can't. That's not my situation. You don't understand what I'm facing right now, and that's true, I probably don't. sometimes our seed of faith feels like it's not answered. I've had that. Now, my mum had cancer and died. That wasn't my hope. That wasn't my seed of faith. That wasn't her seed of faith. You know, we've all prayed and prayed for Graham. Go, God, that wasn't what we were praying for. Does that mean I'm going to stop praying and asking God to intervene? So when I got the news this week that a really good friend of mine's got stage 4 cancer, do I go, oh, that's great, I'd love to pray for you, but too many times it's not worked? I don't. I go, do you know what? All I've got right now is this teensy seed of faith. Because lots of times I've prayed in a big bush of faith and I've seen nothing come of it. But do you know what? I'm going to put my seed in the ground one more time and I'm going to pray with all that I've got that you get healed. I don't care what the doctors say. I'm going to believe for it. I know, you know, people going for job interviews this week. I'm going to share it. I know Solomon's not here, but Solomon's got a job interview on the 20th, so the following week. And that would change and enable their family to work much better. So I said to him, I'm going to pray for you, Solomon. I'm going to put that seed of faith into Solomon's garden and say, I'm believing for you and your family that you're going to get that job and that it's going to change the way you're able to live and to do things and to work. You know, so if you can join me putting your seed of faith into that, you know, let's pray and ask for it. You know, Jill's got a horrible situation right now. Let's put the seed of faith. You know, I've got one seed of faith, but as I begin to see my seed through come to fruition, I've got a whole lot more to be able to say, right, I'm going to pray for you as well. And I'm going to pray for you as well. And yes, I need to plant some seeds in my own garden. But my life of faith, I don't want to just be a little pussycat. I want to be a lion. And there's times I'm sure that lions sit around and don't do very much and aren't such scary predators. And sometimes, you know, like I say, that faith doesn't come off. But let's believe for these things. Let's start going, this is my seed of faith. So I want you to think back to the beginning. You had one thing. One thing that you were hoping for. I'd like you just to hold your little seed in the jar. It's probably easier. I was like, where did I put it? If I put it in my bag, it gets lost forever. Let's hold it up. Lord God, today, we want to be more than pussycats. We want to be more than grasshoppers. We want to be giants in you, Lord God. We want to see you rise our faith level. We want to see you doing miracles, Lord God. We want to see you changing stories, changing history. We want to have testimonies of you bringing this faith into fruition, Lord God. God, all of these seeds represent different things that you already know about and you care about. You are bothered about. We lift these to you this morning, Lord God, and we ask you to act. We ask you to change our faith level, to see it stepped up. God, remind us tomorrow, as we put the jar somewhere else, to keep praying in and to keep believing and to keep acting out the promises of who we are in you, that our lives may be changed, that we might show to other people your love, your power, your grace, your mercy, your faithfulness in our lives. God, we come before you as broken and cracked pots. But we thank you that your love for us is overflowing, is an abundant love. And God, we ask you to help us to keep putting you first in our lives. For you to be the first person we turn to for you to be the first thought in our minds. That our faith may grow and may increase. God, I ask your blessing over each of these people here today. And God, we thank you that you are a gracious and a merciful, a and the most amazing God. Amen.
Well, why don't we thank Lucy for speaking to us so well this morning. Lots of things for us to think about, lots of things for us to take hold of, and as often when Lucy speaks, you get to take home something with you as well to remind you. And let this be something that reminds us to contemplate and to think. And I guess we never, when we're together on a Sunday, we hear the same message, but often God speaks to us in different ways, and we have to take hold of the things that God is speaking to us and apply them to our lives. That's the great thing about God's word, that actually it's living, it's active, and it lands with us differently depending on our situation and where we're at. But I would say as well that as you listen to what Lucy said individually, let's take hold of what she said as well for us corporately as church, because what does it look like for us to be a church that puts our trust in God? And today it's not about beating ourselves up. It's not, you hear Lucy's heart. We're not talking about beating ourselves up and saying we've got to do something more, we've got to do this, we've got to do the other. For me, it's very simple. It's about putting our trust in God. And faith is about doing the things that only God can do. And actually it's his part, which is the bigger part of the deal than our part, which is simply to put our trust. Of course, that doesn't mean it's easy, and we've got plenty of stories of where it's not easy, but our part is to put our trust in him, isn't it? I think we'll draw our meeting to a close now, and we've got opportunity to have refreshments. If there are things specifically this morning where you're going, actually, I would love someone to stand with me in a certain situation, then I'd love you to grab someone before you go. If you want to grab Lucy or one of us, we'd love to pray. And I know Lucy's referred to some of the stories because she knows them. Of course, there's lots of people in this room where we don't know your situation, we don't know your story. But if you would love someone to pray with you this morning before you go, then let's take the opportunity to do that. And let's be church together. And one thing I would say, Lucy mentioned the whole Haiti thing. It's one of those times where we want to pray and we want to respond, but there is also a challenge for us to get involved as well. We're talking together as with the trustees about whether this is something that we can give together as a church. You'll know, those of you who are part of the church family will know that we want to make sure that as church, as you give on a Sunday, it does a number of things. We use the finances to do the stuff for the church, but we also give away 10% of what comes in because we believe it's a biblical principle. So as church, we do that as well. And this may be one of the things that we decide that we want to give as a church. I don't know about you. We can't do everything. Sometimes we've only got a seed, but we can make a difference. So I just wanted to just mention that this morning. We'll keep you posted as we go forward. So God bless you. Have a great week. Maybe just before you go and get a drink, just have a chat with the person next to you and say, is there anything that I can pray for you for this morning? And then let's have some time together and refreshments. God bless you. Have a fantastic week.